May we read a portion from the book of Numbers. Numbers, the 8th chapter, and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the 7 lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold. Unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Before we comment, beloved, this portion of God's precious word, may we ask prayer for the work in Bolivia in regards to literature of a suited character for the many believers now in that land. I just received word from our laboring brethren, Garnica and Lino Bueno, that they had made an extended visit, not only to the assemblies in that land, but also into Peru. And they made mention in one of their letters, Brother Smith, just hurry along as the Lord enables with those notes and comments from the Word of God for us. Now, beloved, it's quite a task. For years we've been seeking to get out notes and comments for the native Christians. Nothing new but simply a humble digest of dear Darby's works and Kelly's and CHM's and some of Bellet's. Simple teaching from the Old Testament and the New Testament. I've been concerned before the Lord because during the war and during sieges of banditry, I lost notes that I had been collecting for years, and so we're starting over again. Just pray that we may get suitable literature soon for those dear souls. They don't read as you might read. They like something just short and to the point, and we trust according to sound doctrine. And they're longing for these notes. And it has been my pleasure to try and give them some of these notes. Now, we have been able to send 30-odd of CHM's works to them, but we find that they don't read them as they might. So just pray, please, beloved, for this work, that we might be able to get these notes and comments out to them. Concerning the Word of God, the native Christians feel their need of reading God's Word and brief comments, as I've just mentioned. And we've tried to get them to read the Word of God in a simple way. Take, for instance, the book of Numbers. We try to get them to read Philippians with the book of Numbers, as we try to get them to read Genesis with the 4 Gospels. These are things known to you older Christians, but perhaps there are some younger Christians who don't read that way. One cannot set rules. But Exodus reads beautifully, you young Christians, with Acts and Romans, and Leviticus, of course, reads beautifully with Hebrews. Numbers reads with Philippians, and Deuteronomy we read with 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And these notes go along that way, and they understand the word a little better. Of course, Joshua reads with Ephesians and Judges with Galatians and Ruth with Philemon and so on. Here in this portion, we have a climax concerning the Levites. And we shall go back as he enables and see specific truth leading up to the consecration of these men, these Levites. Notice, beloved, the lamps are here, and we believe the lamps speak of the perfection of the Spirit's light. And we read also of the candlestick of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof. Well, we teach that that is the perfections of Christ's atoning work. Well, I'd like to take the young people back now for a moment, and we shall find the beauty of this progressive teaching of the book of Numbers. Take, for instance, the first chapter, beloved. If you read carefully the first chapter, you'll find that there the Levites declare their pedigree. Or, in simple terms, they declare their genealogy. Now, you dear young Christians, can you do that? Can you declare your genealogy? One was encouraged this morning with the comments concerning the need of the young people, that it is not sufficient, beloved, for them to take their place at your side and feel that because father and mother are right with God and in the place of his appointment, it's not sufficient unless they have had a definite experience, the new birth. Now, I remember an old brother years ago mentioning this fact, and it was a voice to parents, and he said, beloved, we do trust that you are exercised about your children. That because you are saved by the grace of God, it doesn't mean that they are. They need a definite experience. That doesn't mean that you can set the hour and the moment, beloved. Not in any way at all. But there needs to be that definite dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. That regeneration. That new birth. And so we trust this afternoon that the young people here can declare their genealogy. I remember definitely, but as I said, it's not necessary to remember a definite moment, but I do remember that particular night when I got off my knees over 57 years ago, saved by the grace of God. A definite work of grace in this poor heart of mine. My old grandma read the scriptures to me, and she read Romans over and over again, and I discovered that I was a lost soul. And God saved my soul. To him be all the praise. So we trust that you can declare your genealogy. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Now the second chapter is very interesting. I'm just mentioning this because we think of the youth who may read the scriptures and seek for some food from each portion. In the second chapter, we have them, these Levites, rallying to the banner. And the Lord, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. We are so happy to mention, beloved, that now there are 36 meetings in Bolivia, according to the last letters from dear Philemon and Lino Bueno. And 28 of those meetings, the table of the Lord is set up. And 8 others are waiting on the Lord and upon their brethren nearby, that they too might have the privilege of remembering the Lord in his death. And we do rejoice that those dear souls are not only outside the camp according to Hebrews 13 and 13, but they are afar off, beloved, from the camp, according to Exodus 33 and verse 7, afar off. It is noteworthy here, then, that every man pitched by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle. It's a wonderful thing to rally to the banner. I've known some young Christians, truly saved, but ashamed to confess their Lord. Brother Hayhoe often mentions that there is nothing that he will keep you so happy as confessing Christ to others. That is true. And if we would be happy as young believers, let us confess him to others. In the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, in the second epistle, chapter 2, we read these words, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Dear young believer, how can we be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ if we do not read this book? The daily reading of the Word of God is the secret of a happy Christian testimony. In our schools, you know, we have 3 schools with 160 children, an unobtrusive work for 35 years, and 5 teachers. And every morning we have the liberty, in spite of communistic tendency in that land, we have the privilege of taking the truth to those dear boys and girls every morning. And I say to them, boys and girls, who has had their breakfast this morning? And up go their little hands. It's not a very big one, there's poverty there, but up go their hands. And then we ask them, who has read the Word of God? And some of the little hands go up partway and stop there. Beloved young Christian, you can be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus by reading God's Word. Don't neglect that. Read a portion. Until, as one old servant of Christ said, until a verse hits you suddenly in the nose, and dwell upon that verse. That can be your verse for the day. What else do we find there? Reading God's Word. Getting down on our knees. There are some young Christians that say, "Good night, Lord, and good morning, Lord," and nothing more. Get down on our knees, beloved, and pray. And walk in separation from this world. Its sins, its pleasures, and its systems. This world, we read in the Word of God in 1 John, "Love not the world." And when the Scriptures speak of the world in that setting, it doesn't mean this marvelous creative work of God. It means this diabolical spirit, beloved, that pervades everything. Everything. And I marvel at the grace of God when I see youth even remaining with a measure of happiness with such a current of iniquity that's flowing around them everywhere. Oh, beloved, the world passeth away with its lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And if you would be happy and strong in the grace, confess Christ. And in this way, we rally to the banner. Now just note, we'll hurry on. Number chapter 3. We shall read just a verse or two from chapter 3. Here we have these Levites separated to God and to the Lord for a particular service. And their service was to keep and to serve. To keep and to serve. We have here mentioned three families. And I believe in these three families, the Gershonites and the Merarites and the Kohathites, I believe, dear young Christian, that we have the whole of our of Pauline ministry, of Peterine ministry, and Johnine ministry in the book. Now, the meaning of Gershon is a stranger there, and that's Peterine ministry. When we come over to Merari, we read it means bitterness, and I believe we have John's teaching there. But when we come to the question of Kohath, which means an assembly, we have Pauline ministry. Now these three cover this blessed book. You'll notice if we had time to turn over to chapter 7, you'll find there that there is a specific service granted each one. The Gershonites had carts and oxen to carry the heavy things of the tabernacle, and the Merarites had oxen and carts to carry the heavy things of the tabernacle. But oh, here is something that's important in God's book. When we come to the question of the Kohathites, there are no carts and no oxen. Why? These, beloved, and I speak to you, you young Christian. They carried the sacred things, the things that spoke of God's glory. They carried them on their shoulders. Oh, you young Christians. There are no carts in the carrying of God's things in a spiritual setting. They must be carried individually upon your shoulders. The glow, the things that speak of God's glory, you must carry them upon your shoulders. Now, when we come over to chapter 4, we have them separated in a special way to God's service. But separation is really separation to and from, separated to an object. It's wonderful, dear young Christian, to be separated to the person of Christ. Oh, I just thank God for what he's done for this man. You know, at one time I was hopelessly mixed up in the systems of men. Unfortunately spent some of my best years as a student in a seminary that denied the precious blood of Christ and denied the authenticity of the Scripture. They taught me in that place that this book just contained the Word of God. And I remember going with a heavy heart to the dean, and I said, "Sir, is that what you teach?" He says, "Young man," he says, "this book contains the Word of God." And I made bold to say him, "Sir, I believe that this book is the Word of God." And I was in his bad books from that moment. Right from that moment. This is the word of the living God, dear young Christian. Let no teacher or professor put a blight upon your simple faith that this is the word of the living God. Oh, I've met them. We used to call them rationalists. That was a German rationalism, the rationalism of Strauss when I was a young man. Today it's modernism. And oh, while we are not to be concerned too much, dear young Christians, with events and things around us, we are to take great care lest we dishonor the precious name of Christ by our associations with ecclesiastical evil. A dear man came to me, a Baptist parson, and he said to me, "Brother Smith, it is true what you say, but," he says, "I can't go all the way with that." I think he expected me to plead with him to take the step. And I said, "Sir, well, if the Lord Jesus doesn't reveal to you his mind in this book, concerning the step you think to take, stay where you are as long as you can. Because if you came out, you'd be the most miserable man on the earth. That dear man hasn't taken the step." But I'm so happy to tell you that those Bolivian Christians have taken the step in spite of teaching to the contrary on the part of sectarian missions. They have taken the step. Oh, beloved, praise God they have taken. Separation is not a very appreciated theme. Oh, but what a pleasure it is to be separated from everything that would dishonor the Father and separated to a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One can truly thank God for being where God's Holy Spirit is free, beloved, and open to wield and to apply all his truth that would separate us in very heart and feet too from this godless world and from its sins and its systems. Mr. McIntosh made a statement like this: "To continue in this is not presumption, but faithfulness to God. Grant that we may be faithful." And coming over to chapter 5, they are separated from evil. And thus we have leprosy mentioned here. May God help you, young Christians, to hate sin, to remember that your blessed Savior, because of your sins, was nailed to that cross of Calvary. I've often thought of, you know, it has a peculiar quality, sin has. The moment you would satisfy it, it becomes a lost Daniel and set on fire of hell itself. I've often thought of those Bolivians,
presidents. I've seen them come into power and wade through blood to get into a place of authority and of power. And in the very act of taking the crown, the garland turns to ashes, and there's the crawling and the degrading and the defeat. Oh, how sin, beloved, must be judged, and it must be recognized first, and it must be judged, and it must be put out. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We used to sing when we were young folk, oh, make me clean without within, oh, purge with fire that I might be a vessel clean to bear thy name. Oh, make me clean. Thank God for the precious blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And dear young Christians, that precious blood that was shed for you not only has dealt with the sins of the past, but for every sin that you may commit, the precious blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. I remember one young man saying, Mr. Smith, if I believed that, I would do what I like. And I said, dear brother, you wouldn't like. Here we have then sin put out of the camp. And when we come over to chapter 6, there's a separated people there. A separated people. The Nazarite. Oh, how much that is a theme in itself. A separated people. In chapter 7, we're mentioning these just for your to read the Word of God. In chapter 7 we come to the offerings of the princes. And it's very instructive. There you get, in verses 7 and 9, you get the particular service allotted. The Gershonites and the Merarites and the Kohathites. But here is the thought in chapter 8. That does occupy my soul this afternoon. Before these Levites can be separated to God's service, they have to come into the light of the sanctuary. Ah, beloved, they have to be brought into the light of His own presence. Let me illustrate it this way. All those long years, for over 30 years, the only light we had for our meetings and in the home was the light of a candle. The light of a candle. And one day, I triumphantly arrived with a Coleman lamp. Our homes are just mud floors, you know. We've never had anything of them. We have never put anything extra into our little homes in Bolivia because the Indians wouldn't come into them if they were too nicely gotten up. So we had mud floors. And every morning it was a trial, you know, for the wife to sweep those floors and for myself. I used to sprinkle those floors, you know, with water every morning and let it settle and then go over and sweep it up, you know. And it looked quite clean with the light of the candle. But when we got the Coleman light, beloved, I said to my late wife, I said, honey, did you sweep the floor this morning? And she said, indeed I did. You see, the light of the Coleman lamp revealed corners there that contained plenty of mud and otherwise. And, beloved, it is a solemn warning to us. It is only as we are brought into the light of the sanctuary into the light of His presence, that those things which displease Him and grieve His spirit are brought into light. Oh, it's so important. How often the Spirit of God is grieved because of things in your life and in mine that grieve the Spirit of God. And so these Levites are brought into the light of the sanctuary, and everything is manifest there. I was interested, you know, at one time in music. When the Lord came in, that went out, of course. When I was a boy, of course, I could earn my living with a violin. And so I was intensely interested in the violin. But when the Lord Jesus came into my life, that was the end of the violin, as far as earning a living was concerned. And I remember my father, who was a good musician, he didn't go to hear Paganini, the famous violinist, when he got out of jail. You may have heard of Paganini, the world's greatest violinist, and he had a genuine Stradivarius, which of course he played and captivated the world at large. But father's friend, an old Scotchman, he went to hear him, and he said it was just wonderful to hear that man play that violin. Now Paganini has gone, an ungodly fellow, and his violin rests in one of the old museums in Genoa. And every year that violin, in case Nemesis falls and comes over it, or dry rot, is taken out and played by a master. And that violin remains intact and sound because of a master taking it out and playing on it. I was thinking this, dear friends, this afternoon. The Lord Jesus, the Master, in case we suffer with dry rot spiritually, beloved, He would play on these strings of your heart afresh this afternoon. Won't you let Him do that? Let the Master come in, the blessed Savior. For salvation, if you're not His, and for separation, if you are His, let Him play on those strings this afternoon, won't you? Come into the light of the sanctuary, dear young believer. Let the Lord Jesus possess all thine heart, and something will happen in your testimony. Now, coming over with these, Justin, we're going to stop now. In chapter 1, they declare their genealogy. We trust that you will be able to do that, this, before these meetings close, that you will trust the Lord Jesus. Those who know Him not will trust Him as their own Savior. And that you will, in chapter 2, according to this, rally to His banner, whose we are and whom we serve. In chapter 3, then, we trust too, that there may be a specific service granted you because of it, and that you might be separated in heart and feet to Christ and from this world, separated from evil, sin, a separated people, set apart for His glory, according to the 8th number.